Hangi anderman? Hangi anderman? Hangi anderman? Hangi anderman? Hangi anderman?
From all corners of the globe to your ears, it's the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Sometimes informative, sometimes controversial, but always unpredictable. It's the Midnight Movie Cowboys podcast with your hosts, Hunter, John, and Stu. And now, on with the show.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Midnight Movie Cowboys. I'm your host, Hunter, down in Liverpool, England. And joining me is Fu. Say hello, Fu.
Hello, lads.
And in the Rocky Mountain High of Colorado, we've got the third living member of the Midnight Movie Cowboys, Mr. John Gray. Say hello, John.
Hello. It's great to be talking to you from Liverpool, Colorado.
Yes, indeed. Very good. So, we've got to, this is the last will and testament of Hunter Deucing. I wanted to let you all know that we've been living quite a charade here on the Midnight Movie Cowboys. We'll just say that years ago, our friend Stuart Bulk, who was, you know, founding member, very important to the development of this program, he was riding on a kangaroo in the outback. And he was with his friend Steve Irwin. And they went scuba diving in a lake in the outback. Because there are a lot of those, like there you see. And Stuart was impaled by a stingray. It's very sad. But we knew that because of the popularity of the program, all of our female fans would kill themselves. They knew that Stuart had perished. We knew that the British MI5 was very concerned. They thought that because Stuart was such an international sex symbol, that women just wouldn't be able to take the loss of such a alpha male, such a Chad. You know what I'm saying? They couldn't bear the thought that they couldn't possibly be with him. You know, it was just, it's terrible. So we created a fake. We had a false Stu created. And we held a Stu auditions. And, I don't know why this is funny. This is very tragic.
Paul Hogan didn't make the cut. Obviously.
Yeah, Paul Hogan, you know, he showed up. He's a very big fan, but we said, Paul, we think you're doing this. The females will throw themselves at you. So we had to.
And he lost his Australian-ness. It was kind of gone. Mm. Too many years with Linda Kozlowski.
Yes, and I don't know if you've noticed, but Hugh Jackman's output has dipped as of late. So in quality, he's doing things like The Greatest Showman. Never would have done that years ago. But so we had to cover it up. And, you know, we're tired of living with the lie. I rang Stu. I said, I'm going to, you know, blow the lid off this whole thing. I'm going to tell everybody. And then a little boy on a dirt bike tried to run me down. And I thought, okay, this is too much. He's trying to have me offed. So I decided to come here, put it on blast. We can't let Fu get away with this. Fake Stu, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
We left many clues. If you go back and listen to a lot of episodes of the Midnight Movie Cowboys, we left a lot of clues.
Well, I do want to chime in there just for a second and just say that every episode that I wasn't on was because I was having cosmetic surgery done. Look more like and sell like Stu. So,
well, you know, there are episodes where I've gone to, you know, we've had our traditional MMC artwork, but sometimes I go to Meme Generator That's because the large font hides the cosmetic surgery on Fu's face.
I thought it was more because you're a fucking lazy.
Listen,
who
I
doesn't
have
know
to
how to do artwork.
Wait, this is getting in ridiculous. You know that I'm not trying to cover up my own incompetence by accusing you of being fake.
We've also gotten accusatory emails from autistic people that listen to us because they're detecting a fake stew.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And
there's inconsistencies in the accent sometimes. He says a word too much like a Yank, and it just gives it away.
Yes.
But, you know, we do the Black Stallion, and I'll say things, you know, if you play it backwards, it's me going, "Stu is dead!" over and over again, you know?
Well, that was that slip-up you did where you actually called John Stu, and...
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah.
And if you look at a lot of the artwork...
That was more than you remember.
We put a lot of funeral imagery, you know, like me and John will be looking one way and Stuart will be looking at the kangaroo burger in his hand, and it's the burger represents what Stu became in the car wreck.
Yeah.
You know?
It's no coincidence female listeners cannot tell the difference between me and Hunter.
Hey, Junkie, at least try and put on a fucking Liverpudlian accent for a second.
I don't want to do it because I... Watching this documentary and listening to it, I didn't think it was a very good George Harrison. So I was like,
no, oh. I didn't either. I was sitting there going, oh.
I was like, I could do a better one. I don't even consider myself doing a good George Harrison.
They should have gotten Jeff Walker from Carcass to do it. <You know>? It would have been more believable.
Yeah.
But anyway, so for those of you out there who haven't caught on, for the Midnight Movie Cowboys this week, we are doing a documentary called Paul McCartney Really Is Dead, The Last Testament of George Harrison? And this is a documentary about the Paul McCartney Is Dead conspiracy theory, which is a conspiracy theory I'd heard of, but never really understood how big it got. I always thought it was like kind of a tinfoil hat Beatles fan thing, but I didn't realize this got mainstream attention.
So you would have been surprised when you saw like F. Lee Bailey talking about it on his radio.
Yeah,
show.
I was going, when I first started watching this, I was going, am I seriously watching a documentary about about a conspiracy theory about Paul McCartney being dead? What kind of nonsense is this? And then I remembered when I was watching it, I was going, oh yeah, you know, I feel like I've heard about stuff with Sgt. Pepper and with Abbey Road about, you know, just sort of the death imagery and lots of Paul is Dead references in the albums. And it all started kind of coming back to me. And then I started seeing, you know, the F. Lee Bailey stuff and the press coverage about it. And I was going, oh my gosh.
It was a big thing from what I've read. I mean, of course, I wasn't around then, but I read a lot of stuff. There was a magazine that came out called Beatles Monthly. It still may be around. It was definitely a fanzine that came out through the 80s and 90s. I think it might have been earlier than that, from memory. And, I mean, they covered on some things about the whole... They didn't believe it for a second. And I've never believed it. But, I mean, I picked this one, and I did it because I saw it a number of years ago, probably about 6-7 years ago, probably about 2012. And I just thought, wow, what an interesting thing to do, to take a 95-minute... make a 95-minute mockumentary. I mean, let's call it for what it is. It's a mockumentary. The filmmaker is obviously having a lot of fun with it because it spirals into the ridiculous the further in you get. But to take that idea that had been like an urban, or like a rock and roll legend, I should say, or a rock and roll conspiracy, and just drag it out to 95 minutes, it's a fair effort. And I subsequently became a fan of the filmmaker Joel Gilbert, who I have seen another one he did from last year called Trump, The Art of the Insult, where it's just all the footage of Trump on the campaign trail just insulting the shit out of everybody. It's fantastic to watch.
Coming up with nicknames for people.
Yeah, Lion Ted and...
Crooked Hillary and...
Yeah, Crooked Hillary.
Little Marco.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. It's a fun watch, that one is. But I thought about it again not long ago, and I said, well, it'd be really interesting to cover because I'm a big Beatles fan, but I'm not too sure about you two. It's not a band we really discuss, not like it's, you know, Motorhead or Ted Nugent or
the darkness bands that we all like.
Well, I'm going to say I love the Beatles. I think they're a great band. I think they've become so lionized that their fans can kind of ruin them a little bit, because they sort of have sometimes their fans are kind of annoying, and you know how a fan base can kind of ruin an otherwise decent band.
Hang on. I was going to say like Kiss fans, but then again, you said decent band, so.
Yeah, exactly. Like Kiss isn't even really a great band. They're more of a great idea, but I also think the Beatles are kind of responsible for, I think they're also kind of responsible for destroying Christendom in the West, but this documentary actually goes more into that than you would think. I remember there was a lecture I listened to by this Orthodox professor called The Death of Christianity in Great Britain. And, he said that Christianity in Britain did not survive the Beatles. He uses the Beatles as like the catalyst for, he talks about a lot of other stuff like Freud and Nietzsche and other things. But, the Beatles are one of the horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, Tolkien couldn't save Christianity for England.
No, exactly. But I really like the Beatles. I think they, they're kind of the rock band template, really. And they have a lot of great records. I enjoy listening to them. They have some really horrible songs, but they have a lot of great songs.
Do you own any of their albums on vinyl?
Oh yeah, I own plenty of them. I got a lot of the mono mixes on vinyl. Like I got the White Album. I got a lot of the early records. The early records I particularly like a lot.
Obviously the Beatles, when you look at them musically, are split into two parts: the first half and then the second half, which is Sergeant Pepper onwards. Which one do you prefer more?
I like the first half, but I like the second half too. I love Sergeant Pepper. I love Rubber Soul.
Sergeant Pepper for me is good, but it's not the watermark.
No. I'd rather listen to Meet the Beatles or whatever, but I think it's a fun record.
Oh, I actually enjoy Magical Mystery Tour more than all of them. I really like that one quite a bit.
Yeah, I need to listen to that one some more. That's one I don't own on vinyl, but I've actually got a lot of the songs on it.
Well, Magical Mystery Tour was three singles into one. So three 7-inch singles into a 6-track EP. Then got expanded out to an album later. And I've actually got that 3-record set, the 3 7-inches.
Their stuff was packaged so differently in America, it's sometimes kind of hard to discern it.
If you get the... it's funny, if you get the stuff now, mostly you have the original British releases. But I remember a few years ago, they re-released the Beatles in America albums. Mm. They did a re-release of the Beatles records, and I was working at a record store at the time. And, I was sort of going, if these are kind of considered apocryphal or butcheries, like a lot of Beatles fans consider them, what they're getting a big re-release, why is that? And the sort of older boomers working at the store said, that's the way a lot of people from my generation remember those records. They were like, there's going to be a big market for it. Yeah. And there was. A lot of people came in and bought them, the Beatles in America.
And Beatles are the boomer band, Hunter.
Yes, they are. Boomer values. If you could put boomer values into 4 shotgun shells and blast them into space, that's the Beatles.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Which is another thing. I think, my wife and I were talking the other day about how, for some reason, British musicians, when they reach a certain threshold of fame, they become just the most insufferable wankers on the planet. I'm thinking of, Bono, Sting, Peter Gabriel, but the template for that was Lennon McCartney.
Yes. Totally true. Undeniable.
Roger Waters is another one.
Yes, exactly. Sid Barrett went nuts, so he wouldn't have to put up with Roger Waters.
I'm just glad David Gilmour kind of just keeps a low profile.
Sid Barrett went nuts from Roger Waters.
Yeah. Drove him crazy.
But it's just funny. If there's something in the character of the British rock musician that started with the Beatles, where they just become these annoying activist weirdos once they become a certain level, they reach a certain level of fame. But it's like really, I don't know, it's just there's something weirdly specific about how annoying it is.
I wonder if they started the whole musician activist bullshit that makes rock.
I think John Lennon is kind of the poster child for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit in bed and protest war out of my bed, Yoko.
Have you seen the photos where the maid is coming in and making the bed?
Cleaning out John's bedpan.
Yeah, they're just standing there, you know, him and Yoko just waiting on her, you know. I disregard the help.
Shit in bed, kick it out with their foot, clean it up as we're older.
Funny thing is, Lennon was actually becoming conservative towards the end of his life.
That I've heard. That's one of those Beatles.
I have read that, and they said he liked Reagan, and he had read G. Gordon Liddy's will, the bestseller at the time, and loved it. And I don't think he loved it ironically. I think he actually really liked it. And there's also talk that he felt used by the left in the 70s, which would be very true.
The left used people up. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the left I know.
Yeah, this is in the 70s when there was no acknowledgement of that in the mainstream media. They're acting like, this is the
because the mainstream media was controlled by one viewpoint, and that was
exactly
unbiased journalism.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's
objective journalism. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
but John Lennon supposedly was becoming much more conservative.
Yeah, that's later years. That's a big meme. Is that he some of the last interviews he gave, he was sort of seeming, like he was undergoing a political shift.
Yeah, he's like, I'm tired of you commies. You know.
Using me to further your ends.
Phil Donahue annoys me. I don't want to be like Alan Alda. John Lennon was, people forget that he was pretty quick to punch people in the face. He was actually a really violent guy.
It's like Lemmy said, people thought the Rolling Stones were the hard men. The Beatles were the hard men.
He looked like a bookworm, but apparently he was the brawler of the group.
Well, the Beatles, their Hamburg days with Stu Sutcliffe are pretty legendary. But you look at pictures of the Beatles from back then, they all had like pompadours and leather jackets. Like they looked like Brando in the Wild One.
Teddy Boy. Teddy Boys. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Teddy Boys. But I've never loved the Beatles. I've liked them. Like, I think some of their albums are great. I really do like Rubber Soul. I like Revolver. I like Abbey Road. I like Magical Mystery Tour. I tend to prefer their more psychedelic stuff. I think the early albums sound like skiffle music to me or something that is just too poppy, isn't really my thing.
So you're a big fan of Rubber Soul? Are you? Rubber Paul.
Rubber Paul.
So what you're trying to say is after Paul died, they got good.
Apparently this fall really brought some inspiration to them that they needed to appeal to me.
Okay, let's get into the inaccuracies. I don't know how much you boys know your Beatles knowledge, but the inaccuracies on this scene.
I don't know enough to even pick it up.
It is ridiculous. Some I picked up and some I actually got off the IMDb, so I'm not going to claim I know it all. But the ones I picked up on initially were Rubber Soul came out in 65, which was the whole year before the accident of Paul McCartney. So straight away, I'm like, okay, this is all crap.
It feels like it's taking the piss by them.
This film is an absolute 96-minute piss take. It's all it is. And someone's just, showing you a film with their middle finger behind their, behind your back to them. So it's just, and the thing is, that I noticed the first time I saw this back in August of 2012. George Harrison's in that hospital. A fucking huge hospital. It's incredibly quiet in there. Even if you've got your own room because you're George Harrison.
I was sitting there thinking, listening to it, going, this, okay, what?
We've all been in hospitals before, all of us, I'm sure. They're fucking noisy. You've got nurses coming in all the time. You've got, patients crying, buzzers going off, children crying and buzzers going off, and it's always constantly something happening in a hospital. There is no
There is no recording studio in a hospital, not on a cassette recorder.
Well, it also didn't sound like a cassette audio.
Not at all. You know, it didn't.
Cassette audio has a hiss or a hum of some sort. There's some slight distortion. This is too clear.
It's very professionally done, you know, the voiceover. It's very clean.
Very clean.
Okay, what did you guys think of the guy imitating George Harrison?
I didn't think he was very good.
Subpar.
It sounded like a person doing a Liverpool imitation.
He got quite a few of the pronunciations right, but there was a couple where I said, aha, play the game of gotcha, aha, gotcha. And the one that got me was when they talked towards the end, when they were talking about Let It Be, and they released Let It Be, and they also said about splitting up at the same time. The Harrison in this says simultaneously. I'm sorry. That word is pronounced that way in North America. It's not pronounced that way in Great Britain or Australia at all. We say it simultaneously, like something is simulcast on the radio. So, yeah, that was like, if you didn't have a red flag up by the time you got to that point, you have one then. But there was just also things like, you know, Moxwell. No one says Moxwell. You know, I'm sure Anthony, when he hears this, being from Liverpool, a Liverpudlian himself, wouldn't be saying Moxwell. It's like the song, which they didn't touch upon. They didn't touch about, you know, one of the clues, you know, quote unquote, in this being Maxwell's Silver Hammer. It was never brought up, which is the obvious reference.
I thought was weird because I was thinking about that the whole time. Maxwell's Silver Hammer.
Yeah, you think, we get to Abbey Road, and it's kind of, they didn't bring it up at all. It's like, well, there's a missed opportunity there, but when you hear the song being sung, it's not Moxwell's Silver Hammer, it's Maxwell's. But, you know, like I said, this filmmaker's having fun, and he's a goof. He knows the goof,
and he's practically winking when he introduces.
The whole way through, absolutely, yeah. But you know, this the talk about the if there was an album cover with some sort of red in it. That was there to symbolize the blood around Paul's head. It's crazy, mate.
They find more like dubious backmasking samples.
I will say some of it. If you can teach yourself over the course of 10 seconds to think, yeah, they are saying, you know, Paul is dead. Or the same. It's good. Some is like, you're reaching a bit there, fellas. It's can't quite hear it. It's like the Judas Priest. You know, that court case they had with two kids. Yeah, do it, that thing. Yeah, it was like, give me a break. Do what?
Buy more records.
If it was do it and it was Judas Priest, it was probably referring to butt fucking.
Yeah, most likely, yeah. Do it could have been about help coming out. I don't know.
People. Let's not mince words.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been Glenn Tipton. Could have been do it. Could have been doing, you know, copious amounts of cocaine. It could be anything.
Yeah. Amyl nitrate.
Ooh.
Because it's old, Rob Halford.
you know that story about...
My bourbon!
It's very popular amongst the LGBTQIXRZLMNOPQRSTU community. Yeah, it's amyl nitrate, yeah. They call it video head cleaner. That's what I heard it was called.
Mm. Jeez.
It's also Dennis Hopper's drug of choice in Blue Velvet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what he was popping in that film, was it? Amyl nitrate?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what he's sucking on that mask, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's what Divine was sniffing in Pink Flamingos. You know, with the whole singing butthole? I was listening to the Waters commentary.
Gosh.
Yeah, I was listening to the Waters commentary, you know, a number of years back, and he said, oh, and here's the part where Divine's sniffing amyl nitrate, and you see her laughing right now, and you see Divine bursting the laughter from the amyl nitrate. So, yeah. But I was getting back to this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But getting back to this mockumentary, there's just so many clues laid out there. It's...
Well, the one I'd always heard about Sergeant Pepper's being a funeral, and I'd always heard about Abbey Road's cover.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two. And, you know, the Abbey Road cover seems pretty – both of those seem pretty intentional in terms of just being, you know, death scenes. But, you know, it almost kind of feels to me like some of those things may have been – this is just me spitballing. But John Lennon was a big prankster. He loved to make jokes and
– oh, yeah.
Stuff like that. It almost seems like he could have picked up on these rumors and just amplified them.
You know damn well he was like, this is the best thing to happen in the last...
John Lennon was, you know... I mean, this guy would go out with Harry Nilsson, get hammered and, like, heckle the Smothers Brothers, like, and get kicked out of clubs. I mean, this guy was just... He was a maniac.
Oh, what was that, that drinking troupe they had? Was it Harry Nilsson, John Lennon? Was it Alice Cooper was one of them as well?
I believe so.
Oh, could be, yeah.
It was in the Harry Nilsson documentary that I saw a number of years back.
Yeah, they talk a lot about, because Nilsson and Lennon did that album together, was it Stray Cats or something?
Right.
But they would like blow, they would like, one of their favorite activities was to blow their voices out, you know, by screaming
really?
Into the microphone.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Like, to where they get, like, blood on the mic and stuff. And, you know, that's why Harry sounds like crap on that album.
Oh, God.
Let me see what was album it,
was
it is.
It called, it. Were they called Hollywood Vampires? Was that?
It was called Pussycats. That's what the album was called.
No, I'm thinking
Hollywood Vampires, that's the... All I know is that about them is that's the band Alice Cooper has with Johnny Depp and Joe Perry.
Apparently that's what they called the some early 70s ensemble that hung out at a club. It was Alice Cooper, and it might have been John Lennon. And
I think
guys.
It was, yeah. I remember hearing Alice Cooper talk about it.
And when he formed that super group, they were like, hey, let's use our old name, the Hollywood Vampires.
And, yeah. Like, aren't a lot of those, you know, since John Lennon and stuff like Nilsson, these are all dead people. Mm-hmm. So it's like a morbid thing, like Alice is kind of the last vampire. I don't know. But...
Yeah, but it has got Joe Perry in the band, so...
I don't know if he was in the group or not, but, I mean, like, the OG...
No, he wasn't.
Vampires.
No, he's in the actual band now, but, I mean, it's Joe mm-hmm. Perry. Joe Perry rocks, so... That's that. But, what was I saying about this thing? Yeah, just, like, all the clues scattered throughout was just, like, the filmmaker just pushing it further and further and further. And by the time we get to... And we're going to spoil shit in here because there's nothing you're gonna learn when you watch it by going, oh, my God, I wish the MMC hadn't ruined that for me. When they talk about Rita, the woman apparently in the car with Paul at night.
That's one moment where I was going, okay, this is really funny.
Yeah. Where she apparently had her identity changed by MI5 because she knew about everything, and someone tried to kill her. She had her leg amputated and came back as Heather Mills. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I was going, okay, this is a big prank. And yeah, she demanded Paul divorce Linda.
And you know,
her.
You know damn well that was only... Yeah, pushed into the film for the fact that there's that footage of Heather Mills saying, oh, I've got secrets. If they know, they'll try and kill me. It's like, I don't know what she's told me for a start, but it's like the you know, Joel Gilbert said, fuck yes, we've got this. Let's make it now that Rita becomes Heather Mills. Even though I was reading up on this on IMDb on the user reviews, and there's a lot of one-star reviews on there. People are really angry with this thing. I'm like, people, it's a fucking mockumentary. Get over it.
Yeah, I mean, this thing, it feels like Beatles fan fiction. Like, it feels like Across the Universe or something. Where
oh, it's more entertaining than that, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, I would rather watch this. I'd rather get punched in the face with a boxing glove full of glass than watch Across the Universe.
Yeah.
But what I mean is that's an example of Beatles fan fiction. This is Beatles fan fiction too. You know?
Yeah. And even though somebody points out here on IMDb, they said, okay, here we go. I'll just read it quickly. What were the filmmakers thinking when they put this out? The telling of how Rita was in the car with Paul was almost plausible. The wreck happened in 1966. However, when they said Heather Mills was a new name given to the mysterious Rita by MI5, there was one small problem. Heather Mills was born in 1968.
Yeah. Because that, yeah, that's another thing too. Is how young Heather Mills was. I mean, of course, Paul's gonna, you know, pick up a spring chicken.
With one leg. Well, easier access, I guess, isn't it? So.
But I remember I saw Paul McCartney live when I was in high school, and Heather Mills was – that was when they were dating, and she was in the audience. He was like, oh, you want to say hello to Heather? Me?
He's – McCartney is – I don't know.
Okay, so we've talked about old Paul in the past. We did give my regards to Broad Street.
With the fantastic DVD cover that came with it. The Paul looking like, just get this photo done with, please. I want to get out of here.
I believe I described it as he looks like he's forgotten how to poop.
That was the original poster art that came out, which is the poster I like. But the DVD that came out back in 2003 or 4, whatever it was, just had a black background and a picture of McCartney looking bored out of his skull, which, yeah.
That's true, yes.
But thankfully, somebody out there made up a custom DVD cover with the original poster art. I printed it off, and I scrapped the other one. I chucked it in a drawer and printed up that one, and now it's on my shelf.
Well, if we got to talk about, you know, we've talked a little bit about Paul, but I think Paul's solo career has been kind of hit or miss.
I will say, let me say a couple of things. I'm a massive fan of Wings. I actually prefer Wings over the Beatles.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Same here. I'm not going to argue that. I agree. Those albums sound fantastic. Even today, that live in the studio sound, they're amazing.
Oh,
but it's full. It's not really Paul.
And I will say that I am a massive
Paul
fan.
Paul is a better musician.
I'm a massive fan of. The album and the song that Hunter absolutely despises, which is Band on the Run.
Well, I gotta say, Band on the Run, I should give it a fair shake. I heard that song on repeat in some store I worked at, and it just got under my skin.
Yeah, it's one of those songs like Bohemian Rhapsody. You've heard it 18 trillion times. You're just like, oh, I'm just sick of it, as good as it is. But I've always liked Band on the Run. The best album by Wings, in my opinion, is Venus and Mars. That is a cracking good fucking rock album with pretty much no filler on it. It's one great track up the other. And if you can catch, I don't know if you can still get it up now on Blu-ray. I picked it up pretty much fucking day one. Day one, I gotta buy it. Was the Paul McCartney Wings Rock Show concert that came out. It was a theatrical release back in 1980. And it got released by Eagle Rock in 2011 or 12, I think it was, or 13. And if you can still find that Blu-ray, I don't know if it's been deleted yet, pick it up. That is a fucking great concert.
It is streaming on Amazon Prime, I should note.
Oh, well, there you go. If you can watch it there.
Yeah, if you're doing the streaming, it is on Prime. So
I know it's been deleted here in Australia, and I don't know about US and UK and Europe and all sort of stuff, but... I've got mine, and yeah, it's an awesome show. However, there's one thing I thought of when I was watching this. I thought, man, they missed out. They should have done this. We're now talking about McCartney's solo career after he left the Beatles. The band's name is Wings. They could have said, oh, it was representative of Paul's soul flying off to heaven all those years ago.
I gotta say, I never cared for John Lennon's solo career at all.
Only a couple of songs here. You know, if there was a best of John Lennon, say the solo stuff.
Well, if you took like rock and roll, some of the more rock and stuff, but you know, a lot of it, you know, it kind of, I think of Imagine and stuff like that, and I hate all that stuff.
Well, I like the rock and roll album, and I think the Mind Games album is pretty good, and that's about it.
That's a good song.
Other stuff I've heard is just kind of eh, you know.
And I have never listened to a single Ringo Starr solo album. I've never listened to any of his solo stuff.
I own one. It's Stop and Smell the Roses, I think it's called. From, I think it's 78. It's the one that's got Rack My Brain on it, which is a good song. I really enjoy that one quite a bit.
And he has his fans. I've always been a big fan of George Harrison, his solo stuff. I always liked All Things Must Pass and Brainwashed. And he's got a few duds, like some of the 80s stuff isn't so good. But
Got My Mind Set on You. That's a good song. Yeah. That's fun. There was a good song he did, actually, that was a dedication to John Lennon. I think he did it in 83 or something called... fuck, what was it called? Oh, shit, no, I've heard it. You were the one... All those years ago, that was it. And
okay,
the video...
that was him. I was thinking that was a Beatles reunion of the surviving ones or whatever. I didn't know.
No, that was George Harrison's solo track. And yeah, it's got...
Okay, because I did hear it on the radio quite a bit back then.
Yeah, that was a popular one as well. And yeah, the video tour is really good. It's actually quite touching to watch. It's just all footage of John Lennon. And yeah, it's very good. But yeah, you're right. The early Harrison stuff, like his Dark Horse stuff, is really, really good. The best of if you get the best of Dark Horse compilation is great, really, really good. My Sweet Lord, which cost
Martin
a lot
Scorsese
of money.
Martin Scorsese got a lot of use out of that. That kind of what is my life and all that.
Yeah, and actually, if you can get your hands on the 2-disc George Harrison, the 2-disc Blu-ray. I should say, of George Harrison's... what's that bloody thing called, that documentary about him? 2010, I think it was. I own it, but...
McCartney Really Is Dead. That was the name of it.
That's the one we're talking about, you twonk.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, oh, fuck. I'm absolutely drawing a blank today and shit, so...
I'm not even aware of it, so it may have been under the radar in America.
Got a general release. Let me look it up because I am not too sure what it's called. Living in the Material World. That was it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That was the Scorsese documentary.
That's the one. Yeah, 2011. Yeah. 3.5 hours. It's a long...
Yeah, Scorsese went through this period where he was doing these, you know... extremely long documentaries about musicians, like he did the one about Bob Dylan.
Rolling Stones as well. He didn't do Shine a Light. Yeah. Was that on the Stones?
He did Shine a Light, but Shine a Light was more of a concert movie. Mm. You know, No Direction Home and Living in the Material World. These were really long TV documentaries that were made for like PBS that were, you know, like I think No Direction Home was like a Ken Burns thing where it was like, you know, several episodes.
Oh, really? You know, okay.
Yeah. It's very long. One of my favorite things is all these people talking about Hard Rain's Gonna Fall and how it's this great song about nuclear war and, you know, the problems. It's a great anti-war tune. And then Bob Dylan's going, "It's gonna rain." I don't know what they're talking about.
He said he never wrote a protest song.
Yeah.
None of his songs are political. He never wrote a protest song.
I heard his son on a podcast. I can't remember what podcast it was, but Jacob Dylan was on a podcast. He was like, yeah, he goes, if I was really big into misdirecting the press and just like some people I know. He was talking about how his dad just basically will flip the script on the press just to mess with them.
Oh, he does. He's done it all the time. The funniest is, like, I guess during the Vietnam War, they're asking about, did he write a Vietnam War, anti-Vietnam War song? He goes, "How do you know I'm not for the war?" You know, just like weird shit like that.
Bob Dylan, you know, if you want a masterclass in how to mess with the media, Bob Dylan is the king of that.
Yeah.
You know, Bob Dylan was like, "Oh, the press really likes me. I'm going to put out Self-Portrait, mess with their minds."
It's like, "Richard Nixon is our most misunderstood president." He actually said that on his exhibition.
Yeah. He'll say that, and then he'll go, "Oh, you know what? I'm Jewish, but actually I'm a born-again Christian. Now I'm going to do nothing but gospel records." That's one of the best trolls ever was Bob Dylan doing gospel records.
have you seen the director of this Paul McCartney documentary's Bob Dylan documentary about the gospel years?
No.
It's pretty fascinating because I guess Joel apparently was in a Bob Dylan tribute band. So he looks, he had a Bob Dylan like appearance. He had the hair done that way and everything.
Well, he's at the start of the documentary. You see him, you know, talking about getting the envelope from
His company is called Highway 61 Productions.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the name of his tribute band. So he, he's hosting this thing where he's just talking to people who were involved in the Bob Dylan gospel albums. But, and I think that's the one that has footage of like people going to his show in San Francisco and going, I didn't come here for to be preached to or whatever. And I guess there was audio recording of Dylan going, we got to get saved tonight by Jesus or something. It was entertaining because it couldn't feature any actual Dylan music, but they kept playing like the riff from the Hurricane tune. And they talked to Reuben Hurricane Carter and everything. And
who was guilty, by the way?
Right, yeah. Only Bob Dylan thought he was innocent. But and Dylan won't perform that song live because
I think he's kind of figured out that he was wrong.
Ooh, I got a murderer free. Oh no! But it's
have consequences.
His Bob Dylan documentaries are really entertaining if you're into Dylan stuff at all. They're very, very funny.
Well, there's also the one that he did
very good.
Called the Elvis one he did, where apparently he even interviews Elvis. I haven't seen it.
But
apparently Elvis contacted him and he wants to come out and find
Elvis
this.
Really isn't dead? Is that the Elvis Presley really isn't dead?
I can't remember the name. Like I said, I've not seen it. Elvis.
Obnoxious.
Elvis found
alive.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah.
Celeste Yarnell is in it. What the hell?
Who's that?
Mockumentary. Also on Amazon Prime. I guess I'll have to watch this now.
Oh, I've actually got one that I've not seen. I've only seen about the first 10 minutes, and I dozed off because it was very, very late at night. One called Dreams from My Real Father. Have you guys heard of that one?
Oh, yeah. He was on local radio calling in a lot and promoting that.
Yeah, that's the one. Hunter, have you heard of it?
No.
So, you know, Obama had a book called Dreams from My Father, apparently, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, this one's called Dreams from My Real Father, where Gilbert exposes Obama's real father as Frank Marshall Davis.
That's a theory that Chuck Johnson's been spouting for a long time, that Frank Marshall Davis is really Obama's father. Mm. And when you look at Barack Obama Sr. and you look at Frank Marshall Davis, Obama looks way more like Frank Marshall Davis.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree.
Obama looks like Obama Sr., but Barack Obama, there's a distinct, he doesn't look too much like old Barry Sr. You know,
he doesn't look anything like his.
But Frank Marshall Davis, there is a very strong resemblance there. And his mama hung out with both of them, so I don't know.
Yeah.
That's like
I don't know. That's a conspiracy theory I can buy into. It's you know, I'm sure that you know, there's a lot of ones out there that are kind of dubious, like you know, Justin Trudeau being Castro's kid.
Castro's kid. I believe that. If you look at the side by side of Trudeau and Castro, it's oof.
He does, but he also does. He looks like his dad, his supposed dad too. You know, one.
I think Trudeau acting in Crazy Fat Ethel too is my favorite conspiracy theory. I think Eric Zaldivar posted that video in our Facebook group, which you could join after our meticulous screening process. It was pretty funny.
And if you're thinking of trying to join and you've been on Facebook for one day, you're a member of 87 other groups and got 900 friends. Sorry, bot, you ain't getting in.
Yeah.
Yeah, not happening. Nice try, Vlad.
Close, but no donut cup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if you're from a country where you're trying to sell shit, fuck off. Don't bother.
Yeah.
I can't be any clearer than that. Fuck off. Just don't try.
No, we have members Canada, England, Greece.
Mm-hmm.
Germany? I have an Italian. Germany? Yes, Germany. We're actually very popular in Germany. I don't know why.
Hmm.
And but, yeah, you know, if you're coming in from, I don't know, Indonesia, I might be a little suspicious.
But if you're from Bangladesh, George Harrison welcomes you with open arms.
Yeah, we might have to be very open to that after this post.
Yes. You know, he did all those concerts for them, you know.
Right.
Fat lot of fucking good it did.
Yeah, they never help, you know. No. I don't know one country that got better because a rock star did a benefit concert.
Well, are you trying to tell me that Live Aid didn't turn Africa into a utopia?
Oh, please. Live Aid just went all to the militia, the money. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I was going to
say. Yeah, they basically fed like, the commie army.
Are you wanting to feed warlords for indefinitely? Then go to Live Aid or Live Aid or any of those.
All you hear is Radio Gaga. There's your magic moment.
Yeah, just when I read up on what actually happened after Live Aid, where the money went, I was like, "Oh my god, what have they done? They've made it worse."
It is rough.
Yeah, it's yeah. What was that military they had? Was it the Red Death or something they called them? I can't remember.
It was some scary name that sounded like an evil pro wrestling league of villains or something. But
something you know. Vince McMahon created them, whatever.
Yeah. You're going to starve, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just, going back to this documentary, just like I said earlier on, the inaccuracies are just all over the shop as well. Someone pointed out, which I did know, but I've forgotten all about, that they said that they're going to make their last album, Let It Be, and we're going to let it be. Well, someone pointed out that Let It Be was actually recorded before Abbey Road, so... They haven't done their homework, but I don't really think they've given a shit either. It's like, yeah, it's known as the last Beatles album, so screw it, that'll do.
Yeah, because I had always thought of Abbey Road as the last Beatles album, even though it came out before Let It Be, it was recorded later. So I don't know, it's just for some reason in my mind, that's always been the last one, even though it's not, but I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe it's the funeral on the cover. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
It's like, he's barefoot. It means he's dead.
Yeah, 28 if on the license plate. Come on.
Paul doing it again on Paul is Live.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen that on the cover of the... That live at Paul is Live and he's at Abbey Road?
Wasn't that McCartney actually having a dig at the people saying that Paul is dead, he did Paul is Live.
Oh yeah.
I forgot totally all about that. Holy shit.
Yeah, it was him. It was him totally making fun of those rumors.
I wonder if anybody's actually sat down just in depth with McCartney about it, said this. I mean, okay, he's alive. He's not dead. He never died. But just to get his thoughts on it all and just. I mean, there's some things that you can think, you know, the imagery and shit.
Well, he did the one magazine interview where he talked about it, but, you know, he hasn't done one, I don't know. Well, I don't know. I suppose
he only needs to do one with a major publication and be done with it. He doesn't want to keep repeating the same thing over and over. He'd be sick of it, but, yeah. Just, I mean, and also the footage as well when they talked about, when they spoke of, Lennon's death, and you're talking to McCartney, and he's going, "Oh, a bit of a drag." I'm like, that's not like about 5 years later. It's from about 84, 85 or something.
Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, all right, cheers.
Yeah.
That was funny.
It was funny, and just also when they're interviewing George Harrison by Ray Martin, the Australian presenter. It was massive over here with his midday show, and they got the nerve to overdub George Harrison by saying fall.
Yeah,
like, you guys are, I mean, I'm going to try and pull up that footage somewhere if I can later on and see if it exists somewhere on the internet, and just see. But there's no way. I mean, Ray Martin's a sharp guy. He would have said, "Why are you calling him fall?" He's not going to let that sort of thing go.
It's funny that. It's funny the sort of lengths they went to. The way they engineered that was pretty flawless, though. The way they had him saying fall, it sounded pretty good.
Well, I think they've actually taken that whole sentence that Harrison said and just overdubbed it, and someone's matched it up to the mouth. And
sure, and sure, so, yeah.
It'd be too too much of a sharp, stark cut to hear someone go, oh, fall. You would pick up on it. So I think they've just removed the whole thing and just dubbed it. Yeah.
But what I was going to say, though, this is kind of a masterclass. I think it would be a great thing to show, to look at how you can really sort of alter reality with a documentary that plays it fast and loose with the facts.
So is this going to make the Hunter Doosing film class at all?
No, it's not, because it's too. There's too much information to sort through.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's too much to cover, you know, but it is a good way to look at, though, how a documentary can, you know, you can take, if you showed this to somebody who didn't know any better, they might buy it, you know. They may not believe that that's really George Harrison. There may be certain things that set up red flags, but it is a good way to show, like, hey, this is how a documentary can, you know, mess with truth and kind of get you to go down some BS that's not true, you know.
I'd actually like to find out if the filmmakers were contacted by anybody associated with Harrison or even Paul McCartney saying,
they used some desist, of the fonts and stuff. I was kind of wondering about that when I was watching it.
Well, they're actually using Harrison's name and his image and McCartney's image, so I wonder how they legally got around that. I mean, I'm sure they've done their homework.
They're public figures. If you have them on news footage or whatever, and they're public figures, you can use that, all the footage you need. That's why Michael Moore can use, you know, footage of people talking and use it against them.
The thing that kind of made me go, oh, how do you get away with this, was the, because it's not so much the public figure thing. It was like he was using Beatles font and stuff like that. I don't know if he messed with it to get around it or what.
Well, because Alan Klein is dead, I think he could probably get away with a lot of that sort of, you know, I don't think there's real trademark infringement cases on that sort of thing.
No, but my point is,
I mean, if you think about all the Beatles fanzines and all the stuff that's exploded, you know, kind of unofficially from the Beatles stuff, I don't know.
Well, try putting out a Kiss fanzine back in the day with a Kiss logo. I mean, some did it, but I mean, you try doing it now.
You get a call from Gene Simmons going, excuse me, but I'd like to go into business with you.
Well, they're notorious for that. And the Beatles, I don't think, were as harsh about that sort of thing. That's probably why they thought they could get away with using Kiss font.
But the thing is, well, with George Harrison, you know, being dead, he's passed away. You'd think maybe the estate might say, you're not putting, you know, my father or my ex-husband or late husband's name, whoever it is that says this to the filmmakers, on this thing saying it's the last will and testament. Because, yeah, okay, there's a question mark at the end, but it doesn't really, you know,
if you're dead, there, you have no legal repercussion for the use of your image. If you're a public figure and you're dead, you can't libel the dead. That's what Bela Lugosi's widow found out. They even call it the Bela Lugosi widow law.
Oh, really?
Bela Lugosi's.
The only way to get around it is to do what the Bruce Lee estate did and trademark the image. If Bruce Lee estate has trademarked the image where no magazine can put Bruce Lee on the cover without paying something to the estate.
And I guess as well, if Paul McCartney or any of his people say, yeah, you need to cease and desist this, then we're like, aha, why? We've got some...
Yeah.
Well, exposing you really for what you are, William Campbell? I mean, all right. I don't know. I don't know how they go. I mean, Lennon's dead as well. I mean, so, and Ringo, he's too busy, you know, trying to organize the PLO or whatever the fuck he's doing these days.
Well, Ringo does his Traveling All-Stars band, which I've always heard their concerts are great fun. I've seen one on video, and it looked like a blast. But
That was that one that got that VHS release years ago.
Yeah. It had, like, Joe Walsh and a bunch of other familiar faces on it. And he was getting them together, like, every 2 years. They were doing a big tour, and they'd always play Colorado. I always heard the shows were great. Like, if you went, it was just like a bunch of old timers, you know, belting out their tunes.
Cool. Very cool. All right. You guys got anything else on this one?
It's tons of fun.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I mean, it. I gotta say, it also made me want to go bust out my Beatles vinyl and listen to some of that stuff. Not to listen to for conspiracy clues, but just to enjoy some of them.
So you have no.
Can't play that in your car, Hunter.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't play it in my car. The only Beatles album I can play in my car is Beatles Live at the BBC Volume 2. It's a CD.
And the numerous versions of them at Shea Stadium that have come out over the years on CD.
Exactly.
Mm. But no desire to go and, maybe if I just spin this backwards a bit, I might find something that the filmmakers didn't find when you listen to the Beatles vinyl.
I thought maybe if I listened to it, I might find out that Paul McCartney was not only dead, but also gay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Just doing an Eddie Trunk posting, you know. Never Trunk. #.
Yeah. Post all your complaints to Eddie@EddieTrunk.com.
Yeah, go email Eddie Trunk if you have any problems with any of that.
I'll tell you one thing I would like to bring up before we finish up is I was thinking about doing my own Paul is Dead for this, but about Paul Stanley.
And, oh!
Like the last will and testament of Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley. I left the band because I couldn't go on with this charade anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I stand being in a band with a fake Paul, a real Gene Simmons, and a drummer like Peter Criss who can't hold time.
I'll tell you how we do it, though. We do it from after 77. So we go to 78 when there was nothing except the film, the glorious film.
You're looking for someone, but it's not Kiss.
Thanks, Paul. And and we go to Dynasty, whatever the fuck way you want to say it. That's when the change happened with Kiss's sound. So, Paul Stanley, let's say, as a joke, I'm not saying it happened, just say as a joke, was killed in a car wreck as well. Or something happened, and they brought in a fake Paul, still in makeup, no one's going to know, and the sound changed. But this fake Paul, this fall, was very dominant and changed Kiss's sound.
He wanted to do disco.
Yeah, he was a Guido from Studio 54 with long hair.
He wasn't Jewish, he was Italian.
He was Italian, yeah. He was Southern Italian, like, you know. he was an Italian from like Mississippi or something like that. No offense, John. And just Kiss of Sound changed and it just all went downhill from there. But they're legally still bound to call him Paul Stanley and not divulging the truth. What do you reckon, huh? We can get away with that
one? And this is why Kiss is so adamant that they can continue the band with no original members.
Ah, there you go. Good point.
Boom. Boom.
Yeah.
We're tying it all together, lads.
Yeah. See, we're going to put in other people to wear in our makeup, but guess what? We've been having that for the last 40 years, and you didn't know. And,
exactly. They said,
well, we can get Paul Stanley to, we can get somebody else to wear his makeup and nobody notices. Why not Eric Carr? Why not Tommy Thayer? Why not Gene Simmons? Yeah. We can replace Kiss and I can stay at home and make money that way.
Yeah.
That's right, Gene.
Yeah, because they were saying, their accountant was saying, Gene, if we don't get another Paul, Kiss is going to fall apart. What about my money? Well, get another Paul. Get another Paul now. So, yeah, that's how it happens.
Listen, if we reveal that Paul Stanley is dead, thousands, if not millions, of women will commit suicide because they will not be able to bear the children of the Star Child. Do you understand?
Yes, and there'll be no Phantom of the Opera to go and see on stage either.
Who will play the Phantom of the Opera? It's not Michael Crawford. It's Paul Stanley.
And the fall from Kiss was so dominant that the money was
He just turned out to be a total Chad and took it over.
He did. He took it over. Yeah, he was like, this is now my band. And Gene's like, well, fuck, I'm going to make some movies. And
Gene was like, I'm going to go be in Michael Crichton films. Runaways, baby.
That's all right. And let's say, hang on a second. Wait. Phantom of the Park was about a guy who created fake Kiss members, right? Huh? What?
Oh.
Was that a clue that I was giving?
Ooh. Anthony Zerbe is behind it all.
Right in front of our face.
This was. And one, okay. They were trying to tell us, okay? So it's about them trying to create fake Kiss members. But get this. Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, they weren't drunks. They were so disgusted at working without – they were thinking, you know what? We're making – they weren't disgusted. They were going, we're making a movie without Paul Stanley. Why don't we make a movie without Peter and Ace?
And I'll tell you, I'll go one step further. Let's get an Ace's Black.
Yeah, so let's that we'll get Black Ace Frehley, and that way we are making a statement going, what is Kiss? If we don't have Paul Stanley, what is Kiss? It's just a commodity, baby.
That's it.
That's all it is. Coca-Cola.
It's like, I'm Kiss.
Pepsi.
You're Kiss.
And that was Ace and Peter making a statement. It wasn't laziness. It was not
drugs.
You know, it was not drugs. It was not alcohol. It was not a lack of ability to deal with the realities of the movie set, of the movie lifestyle. It was them making an artistic statement as artists.
I will go one step further now. John's fucked off to grab a whiskey, I'm sure. He's like, I can't bother about it. But we could get
more.
Hannah, we'll keep going for another minute because I got another theory. Okay, Peter Criss and Ace Frehley, big fans and friends of John Belushi. Used to hang out with him all the time, get high with him, etc. Belushi, huh? Well, how long did he live after that? 82, he died? 83?
Yeah, it's somewhere around there, yeah. Where I was born.
Yeah, Eric Carr threatened to tell the truth. Gone.
Oh, you know what?
Mark St. John,
CIA,
gone.
CIA poisoned him with asbestos. The way that Putin killed that Russian guy in Britain. Remember? That guy died of radiation poisoning.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's like that. That's what they did to Eric Carr.
It's like a pellet fired from an umbrella, right?
Yeah. They fired some
James Bond shit
to his bones, you know? That's what they did to Eric Carr. Because he threatened. He said, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to blow the lid off the truth. I'm going to tell them that, you know, this isn't Paul Stanley. And then people will know that there's only one original member of Kiss, Gene Simmons. The puppet master pulling the strings.
Mm.
Exactly.
I think if we attempted this project, we'd be like, hey, guys, we got an email from Kiss Corporation, cease and desist.
I actually want to do this now.
Well, we need to get Garrow to make this. This would be outstanding. It would be or Pharaoh.
Kiss Conspiracy with a K, you know?
Oh, don't start that. It's like Kissmas Conspiracies, cult classics with a K. It's like, fuck.
We could call it Kiss Saves Alex Jones.
No, why would we do that?
Kiss Saves Santa, you know? Kiss Saves Alex Jones? Oh, I don't know.
Kiss meets the Phantom with an
Kiss,
F.
Kiss meets the Phantom of the InfoWars.
I think much like the imagery on the Beatles later albums that are giving signs, I think us rambling now is a sign to cut it quick.
Yeah, it's a sign to cut it up.
Yeah.
Stuart, what would you give this documentary?
Look, honestly, I say give it a watch. If you're going to go in there, if you're a huge Beatles fan and you're going to pick it apart and say, wrong, you're not going to enjoy it.
I don't know, you might.
Well, I mean, Kiss fans and Beatles fans are pretty hardcore. I mean, they know shit that, you know, Kiss and the Beatles themselves go, oh, we did that in that day. Really, I didn't even know. I forgot all about it. But then again, I've got a life, so I'm not worried about stuff that I did back in 1963 or 1976, whatever. Anyway, so if you're a Beatles fan, drop all your knowledge of the Beatles and your love for them and watch it just as purely a mockumentary. And a funny one at that. I'll give it a 7. I would say give it a watch for sure.
That was going to be my score as well, a 7. I thought it was a lot of fun. Just don't take it seriously.
Absolutely not.
If you don't know much about the Beatles, you might find yourself getting sucked into a lot of things. Just, you know it's all good fun.
And I will say,
give it a 6.
Can we get a fake John from now on? A Fon?
How do you know that wasn't a fake John?
We'll get Mr. Tumnus in here, Fon.
We might have to get a Hunter. I think we might have to get Faux Fidelity on instead.
Faux Fidelity, yeah.
Yeah.
Have fun pulling that out of the hospital.
Well, at least he can record it for us and send us the tapes, I guess.
Oof.
Yeah. Less will and tech. No, I'm not going to say it. Don't worry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, let's cut it there.
All right, guys. Well, we'll be back next week. And
the last will and testament hot dogs of Faux Fidelity.
Well, they're dogs, too. Anyway, all right, fellas. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say adios.
And I'll say corporations just suck, man.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for listening to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. For more information, go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com. For feedback, comments, or show suggestions, go to midnightmoviecowboys@gmail.com. Like what you hear? Head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. Hear us on Stitcher Radio. Head over to Stitcher.com and download the app. Want to help the show out? Head on over to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and hit the PayPal donate. We appreciate all donations of any denomination. Find us on Twitter at MMCowboys. Like us on Facebook. Head over to Facebook.com. Type in Midnight Movie Cowboys. Hit the like button over there. Want to friend us personally on Facebook or follow us on Twitter? Go to www.midnightmoviecowboys.com and find the links from there on the right-hand side. Thanks for listening. See you all next week.